As I said already, I've just come back from a week on Star Island, which is about 6 miles off the coast of New Hampshire. And I was out there serving as the minister of the week for a family conference. Star Island is a retreat center owned jointly by our Unitarian Universalist Association and the United Church of Christ. And as those of you who have been there know, it's a special place. There were 300 of us there at that conference, eating together in the large dining hall. We filled it to its capacity. And in smaller numbers, gathering for chapel in the morning and again at night. Some of us swimming in the cold ocean. Most of us every day taking time to take in the view out across the ocean from the hotel's large porch. My responsibilities as the minister of the week were blessedly small in most ways. To lead a morning chapel service each day, 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes. I said to people, I should go back to Haverhill and say, we're going to change things this year. 20-minute worship service. You're going to love it. The other part of the job that was more open-ended was being available as a minister to people attending to the conference as well as people leading it for conversation and counseling as needed. Before I went, I thought it was going to be a nice week, but I had no idea how much I was going to love being out there, leading worship in the small stone chapel that's built on the high point of the island, where from the pulpit, you can look to your left, and right out a window right there, you can see the blue of the Atlantic Ocean. And if you look to your right, out the window right there, you can see the people who are worshiping outdoors, sitting on benches and rocks, because there's a speaker that projects what's happening in the chapel out there. One day after the service, and there were usually about as many people outside as there were in, I was talking to one of those outdoor folks, and she was saying how much she loved being able to sit or lie down on those rocks and take in the whole view, the island and the sea and the sky, while at the same time being part of a worship service. And so I just looked around and took it all in, and I said, yeah, it's like the best church PowerPoint ever. During the week, people told me, many people, that their time out there was something they looked forward to all year round, that it was special because it was a departure from their everyday lives. They felt fortunate to be there, of course, and acknowledged how valuable it can be to get away to a time and a place set apart for spiritual nourishment and refreshment and growth. They said Star Island was a touchstone for them. It was their spirit's home, many of them told me. And so this morning, I want to ask you to think about this and ask you, have you ever done something like this? Ever been on a retreat or to a summer camp, maybe a church camp? Ever made an intentional time apart from your daily life? I know some of you go on yoga or meditation retreats, and a number of folks here go in the summer to Ferry Beach to Religious Education Week, both adults and children and youth. And we have a weekend at Ferry Beach in the fall with folks from two other congregations. I've also been wondering lately if we should try to do something closer to home, perhaps at Rolling Ridge in North Andover, a church retreat, a time focused on spiritual practices and spiritual growth and the kind of community you have when you see people in the morning brushing their teeth and you see them over breakfast and that kind of experience. You can also take a retreat all by yourself. You could even do this at home. If you turned off the phone and the internet and the television, made some adjustments to your daily life, adopting a different way of being for a day or more. You could do that anywhere. But there is something special, I sense, about going to a place and a time that's set apart. One thing I particularly noticed and appreciated about Star is that it's an island. It's this rock out in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by a few other rocks, but surrounded mostly by vast expanses of water. And so you're stuck out there. And I experienced this limitation as freeing. There I was for a whole week with nowhere to go. Just the invitation was to be there. My wife Tracy came out for the first two nights, but then she was scheduled to leave because she had a conference to go to in North Carolina. And so she was supposed to leave on Monday afternoon. But if you remember, a cold front went through last Monday, and it was really windy that day. It was extra windy out there, and the ocean was so rough that when the ferry boat came with people who were coming to the island that day, it was too rough for them to dock. And so the boat turned around and went back to Portsmouth. Those folks had to wait another day to come out to the island. And Tracy and the others who were leaving that day, they were stuck. She was stuck with me for another day. This can be kind of inconvenient, but I have to say, I think there's something nice occasionally at being at the mercy of the weather. It's a reminder that there are bigger forces at play, forces beyond our control, whether we like it or not. As I said already, Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the author of our reading, he was Secretary General of the United Nations until his death in a plane crash in the early 60s. He was someone who led a very busy and very public life. And he kept a journal, which was only discovered after his death. In a note he wrote at the start of the journal, he said, "It was a sort of book concerning my negotiations with myself and with God." Published in English under the title Markings, his journal shows that this very public man had a very deep and rich inner life. And I believe that it was that spiritual grounding, that ongoing source of reflection, that made his public leadership and service possible. So if you feel a longing to set some time apart for yourself, to go on retreat or to write in a journal, to pray or meditate, to cultivate an inner life, please don't let anyone, including those voices we carry in our own heads, tell you that this act is selfish or indulgent, or that spirituality is just self-centered navel-gazing. Some of us have heard those voices, inside and out. It's my deeply held belief that the best work we can do in the world will come out of a deep inner-centeredness and spiritual grounding. That finding the point of rest that Hammarskjöld talks about is not rest like taking a nap, which certainly is a good thing, and that kind of physical rest is certainly something we all need. But no, what he's talking about is a focused paying attention, a heightened awareness, not a falling asleep. The Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh says that in his native Vietnam during the war, so many of our villages were being bombed. Along with my monastic brothers and sisters, I had to decide what to do. Should we continue to practice in our monasteries, or should we leave the meditation halls in order to help the people who were suffering under the bombs? After careful reflection, we decided to do both, to go out and help people, and to do so in mindfulness. We called it engaged Buddhism. Mindfulness must be engaged. Once there is seeing, there must be acting. We must be aware of the real problems of the world. Then, with mindfulness, we will know what to do and what not to do to be of help. This summer, I keep remembering, it keeps popping up in my mind, a couple of lines from a song written by Lucinda Williams and made popular by Mary Chapin Carpenter. The song is about wanting what you want without apology or shame and not being afraid to ask for it, all of it. I'm not going to try to sing it because I can't do them justice, but the song begins, "Is it too much to ask? I want a comfortable bed that won't hurt my back. Food to fill me up and warm clothes and all that stuff. Shouldn't I have this? Shouldn't I have all of this? And passionate kisses from you." That's the title of the song. It's this happy, lovely song about life and love, and it expresses a truth that the church has too often been unwilling to admit, that the way to a spiritual life, and I believe the way to God, is by paying attention to your longings and your desires, certainly not by repressing them, by asking for what you want. Even Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find." The line that I've been remembering this summer comes from the second verse. "Is it too much to demand? I want a full house and a rock and roll band." Maybe I myself don't want that in my house, but pens that won't run out of ink, and cool quiet, and time to think. Something I loved about being out on Star Island there was room there for both time together and quiet time too. 300 people out there, plus the 100 or so people who worked there, at times it was like a rock and roll band. And there was a nighttime cafe that I went to that started at about 10:30 at night. That was music, and it was awesome, but I was usually past my bedtime. So there was plenty of activity, but there was also time for stillness and quiet. Most nights I attended the evening chapel service, which was led by selected members of the conference, and it was lit by candlelight. People carry lanterns up to the chapel and hang them at dark. I also found time to sit on that porch, sometimes around the far corner where it was quieter, and on rocks looking to the south out over the ocean. But with a congregation of 300 for a week, there were plenty of conversations and plenty of connections. And so I came home still wanting and needing some of that cool quiet and time to think. Some time for negotiating with myself and with God. And I suppose that you might need this too. Dag Hammarskjöld says, when we know how to touch that point of rest within ourselves, how much disappears and all that remains falls into place. In the point of rest at the center of our being, we encounter a world where all things are at rest in the same way. Then a tree becomes a mystery, a cloud a revelation, each person a cosmos, of whose riches we can only catch glimpses. The life of simplicity is simple, but it opens us to a book in which we never get beyond the first syllable. The invitation is to seek opportunities to touch these depths of life and being, because in seeking, we will find. We will be opened up to this wonder and to these mysteries. Amen.